everyone, and welcome to this edition of Stream On. I'm Jim Williams, your host. Now, Acorn Television, our friends over there, are going to do something for us on Christmas, which is a very nice gift, you know? Thanks to the folks at Acorn TV. Season 11 of one of my favorite shows, and frankly, one of the best shows on television, bar none, and it doesn't matter if you're in the United States, Canada, Australia, or the UK, or anywhere in the world, Murdoch Mysteries is without question a fun, clever, well-acted show that is, it's perfect for the entire family. So, great gift coming, season 11 of Murdoch Mysteries. Now, if you haven't seen Murdoch Mysteries, first of all, shame on you, because it's an outstanding show. Secondly, go to Acorn, and by all means, begin to start binge-watching, because it's definitely worth it. Absolutely. Now, for those of you, like I said, like myself, who can't miss an episode of Murdoch Mysteries, when last we left our gang, at the end of season 10, pretty much the entire group was in danger. Now, here, I could tell you what happened, but you know what? We don't want any spoiler alerts. And I know someone who is our guest today who could absolutely tell you what's going to happen, but he's not going to either, because frankly, the most important thing, just like any good Christmas gift, is unwrapping it and finding out what happened. So, my guest is Yannick Bisson. That's right, William Murdoch himself. And Yannick, I got to tell you, great ending to season 10. Man, what are you guys going to be able to do in season 11 that will top an outstanding season 10?
Well, Jim, I can tell you that we will be picking up immediately where we left off. So
okay.
If people are wondering, you know, what, whoa, wait a minute, what happened?
Right.
They'll know right away, starting on at Christmas when we resume. And it's a pretty awesome season. I just had my last day of filming yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a lot of variety. As we left off, season 10, things are looking pretty dire. It's a little bit of a darker episode than we've done in the past. Although, you know, we've had lots of great nemesis and different mm-hmm. sort of scary situations for our heroes. So I'm hesitant to say that it's that dark, but some people commented, so I thought I'd say something. But this season 11, I have to say, by far has been the most challenging for me in terms of content, in terms of acting outright. Certainly episodes 17 and 18 that we've just finished are some of the most difficult that I've ever had to do in terms of subject matter, in terms of, you know, where I had to sort of be as a person. And so I can definitely say that there's a lot coming your way. It's going to be a terrific season, so I'm excited to see people's reaction. We're about halfway through it up here in Canada at the moment.
Well, it seemed like the only thing that was safe was your bike after the cliffhanger in season 10. one of the things I think is so fascinating and amazing about the show is the fact that you have an outstanding ensemble cast with Thomas Craig, of course, Elaine Joy, and Johnny Harris. I mean, just to mention a few, I mean, yes, it's Murdoch Mysteries, but it really is an incredible ensemble cast.
Absolutely. It wouldn't be the show that it is. It wouldn't have the far-reaching success that it has, you know, all over the world, if it wasn't for the entire core cast and a lot of our guests and, you know, the entire crew and all of the creative people, the heads of departments. I mean, we've basically almost to a man have the same, you know, department heads that we started out with. So, you know, that speaks a lot to why the show has done what it's done globally. The cast is great. You know, I couldn't imagine sort of switching anybody out. We get along well. We have a good time. We collaborate. We massage stuff into place. And that's a big part of the appeal for me, is we don't sort of get a lot of interference from above. It's our story department. It's us. And we just get to work.
Well, I think it's a testament to the team, your writers, obviously the actors. I mean, you don't go 11 years on a television series without creating something special. It just doesn't happen. And I think what makes Murdoch Mysteries entertaining, at least to me, is that it's always about the story. Each time you guys come on the air, you come on with a story. It's a great story to be told, and you knock it out of the park every time. And that's a testament to the talents of the entire staff, from you guys who are in front of the cameras to the people who are behind them.
Absolutely. There's, you know, there's nothing without the story. A lot of people wrongly believe themselves to be the most important part of the process, but, you know, we got to start somewhere. I think, you know, Maureen Jennings wrote The World, wrote the original books. The series isn't quite that anymore. It's become something somewhat different. Certainly we've added characters and changed some things, and the overall tone is different. But we had to start somewhere, and you know, it was a winning story from the beginning. And you know, Christina Jennings and Cal Coons and the people that were there adapting this into a TV show knew that from the beginning. And then we put together a team, and we've really got lucky, because there are relatively few takebacks or mistakes, if you will. We've just basically been chugging along, and we've had some great creative people come and go, and it always seems to just get better and better. Our ratings keep getting better and better, and certainly the response around the world is positive. So who knows? I mean, I could be in a wheelchair still doing this show one day.
You know what? That wouldn't be such a bad thing. You know, it's one of the – it's basically, I remember Mark Harmon – we were talking about NCIS, and they had just reached the 10-year mark at that point. And right. I said to him, you know, how much longer do you want to do this? And he goes, till they drag me out of the stage. You know, it's like, I'm not leaving until they forcibly remove me. And
yeah,
I think that
it's a very unique position to be in as a you know, an actor, a performer, a creative person, to be able to be, to get that positive feedback and longevity in terms of your project, and paycheck doesn't hurt either.
Sure.
It's very unique, and you have to, you very much have to weigh the entire thing out constantly, because you know, you get other offers or there are other opportunities. You get that itch to want to do different things. You have to consider it very carefully, because there's, you know, a certain respect you have to give to something that's this successful.
Right. From an actor standpoint, what are some of the things about Murdoch that you enjoy the most?
I would say, because somebody said this recently, it put the finer point on it for me. It kind of crystallized what I like about this show most, and also what seems to resonate with most people that I speak with, is that we don't take ourselves too seriously. We can dip into some goofy stuff, which, you know, to be honest with you, a lot of the time is more fun to, you know, have some lighthearted stuff. I got to tell you, when I have to show up on a Monday morning and do some heavy sort of dramatic lifting, that's not always as pleasant as, you know, having a scene where You know, a bunch of guys in an office talking about gas masks that don't work, and I don't know, whatever. It's that we don't take ourselves too seriously, in that we are able on the odd occasion to go very zany with the show and mm-hmm. do some goofy stuff. And we are permitted to do so by our audience. I think that's probably the most attractive part for me. And I think what's kept us around for so long.
How about William Murdoch? Is there anything in the character of William Murdoch that, that you can relate to?
I would say he's very empathetic. Mm-hmm. I think he doesn't always judge a book by its cover. He started out that way. He was a lot more sort of judgmental and you know, regimented and sort of buttoned down and religious, if you will. And mm-hmm. then as seasons go on, as you know, ironies and just different things happen, and you know, a lot of people commit crimes, but for an original intent that is pure, you know, you sort of have a character who has to start to see things one layer at a time aren't so simple. It's not all so cut and dry, and so mm-hmm. Sympathies and his empathy sort of develop. And so, you know, we've discussed a lot of different things, socioeconomics, race, talked about religion. We've talked about sexual orientations. We've talked mm-hmm. about, you know, women's rights. We've talked about religious freedoms and all these different things. And I guess, you know, just like any successful show, we have to discuss universal themes. We have to discuss what people think about. We have to discuss all of that stuff. And, you know, that has made for a character that I think is a little more likable now than in the beginning. But the discovery that he's made, he's sort of our eyes. You know, he's our best self on our best day. He sort of guides us through all of these different things as they unfold. And so, you know, I think he's quite a likable guy, because he's had a lot of crap tossed his way, and he's made the best of it.
Stream On will return after these words from Alfa Romeo.
When you look for things, when you search the polished showrooms, the markets, the runway shows, you are looking for me. Beyond luxury and status, beyond capability and utility, you are looking for me. And when you dream of an SUV existing far beyond the ordinary, an SUV steeped in performance, infused with passion, artistic beyond description, you unknowingly dream of me. I am the end of your search, your drive, your dream. I am what you live for. I am the Alfa Romeo Stelvio, the first sport utility vehicle created by Alfa Romeo.
Let's return to our conversation with Yannick Bisson, William Murdoch on Murdoch Mysteries.
Let's talk a little bit about the 11 years and the fact that you're on in a number of different countries. When did you know, or did you know, that Murdoch Mysteries was a hit? I mean, was it like, well, you went on vacation sometime and you went around and somebody in another country, you know, flocked over and asked you for your autograph? Or, I mean, all kinds of crazy things that when you find out that people know, wait a minute, I suddenly became famous.
Well, Jim, it hasn't been a very easy road for the show. We've mm-hmm. We've had two different broadcasters. So
right.
In the beginning, I didn't know that the show would last that long. That's just automatic, par for
sure.
The course, TV shows. You know, 2-3 years maybe on average for any show. And then on top of that, we were the first sort of period show on the landscape after they had all kind of dried up for a long time. 2007, mm-hmm. there wasn't much out there that was a period show. Plus, it was very much Canadian. It was, mm-hmm. you know, set in Toronto, and it was period, and it had some religious sort of overtones and undertones, and so it was like, is this going to go very far? I don't know. So we start out with our first broadcaster, and there was a big, big ownership change, and there were some regulation bodies had delineated a lot of ownership, and so parcels of broadcasting go to one broadcast distribution undertaking and some to the other. And so we end up with this parent ownership that didn't really care much for the show. But what I noticed was that in spite of being moved around all over the schedule, our ratings were relatively high for a Canadian drama. They were around 750K. So that was interesting to see, because we were being sort of gotten rid of a little bit, and yet we were maintaining really high numbers. And then we got absorbed by our public broadcaster, CBC, after season 5. And then all of a sudden, we were on the same night every night. We were prominently featured in on-air advertising. Everything stabilized. And next thing you know, we're the number one drama across the country with just a couple of other shows that were doing that well. So it was interesting to see that, yes, it was already, there was a demand, there was a vacuum already for the show. And so I sort of had that feeling that if we could just get some help from above, everything's going to do pretty well. So then you cut to 6 years later and we're still at the top, and you know, it's unheard of success. So what point exactly, I'm not sure, but I do remember one time in Italy, and my family there on a family trip, it was about 5 years ago. And we were at this restaurant, and we were being shown this little wine cellar, and we were downstairs, and it was really cool. We're walking back upstairs to go sit at our table and actually have lunch. And this young guy stops in the middle of the dining room. He goes, "Oh, Detectivo Murdoch."
That's great.
And I thought, well, I don't know if I've made it, but I've made it here.
Oh, there you go. You know, that's a cool one.
I had a similar story happened in south of France. We were there for Cannes. We were doing some distribution stuff, and back of the cab, and all of a sudden these big eyeballs in the rearview mirror, this man stops and he says, "Oh, je peux pas mes yeux, c'est le détective Murdoch dans mon taxi." He was basically saying, "I can't believe my eyes. Here, right here in my taxi, I have Detective Murdoch."
had a good
laugh at that one.
That's great. I think that part of the success of Murdoch Mysteries is the fact that, like you say, it can be serious, but it also, you guys can laugh at each other. And I think that's been something that's been entertaining from that standpoint with, you know, especially your interactions with Inspector Crabtree himself, George and Johnny Harris.
Yeah.
He's a
very skilled comedian. He's a terrific performer, and you know, we've been friends a long time, and so we have a sort of a shorthand, and he does his thing, I do my thing, and then sometimes, you know, he's like, "Hey man, if you do this, I'll do this," and then I, you know, I'll do the same thing. And he has some other successful projects as well, so you know, it's always look forward to it. And certainly when we start doing that funny stuff, it certainly makes the day go by faster.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, look, what are some of the things when you sit down to watch TV with your family, what do you binge watch? What do you like to watch?
I have a couple of shows that I watch regularly. I like Westworld and Game of Thrones. And maybe it's the production value, mm-hmm. the aesthetic, the level of the writing, the level of the crafting of the story. I don't know. I like those a lot. I've tried a few other shows in the last couple of years and just not really had as much interest in them. I watch a lot of, try to sort of watch as many documentaries as I can. Mm-hmm. You know, because showbiz can be very insular. You can end up being 100% focused on one thing for 7 months. And, you mm-hmm. know, people all around you are talking about shows and different things and concerts and movies. And I'm like, man, I wish I had time to do that. I wish I had time to read a book. You know, but you're memorizing 10 pages a day, you're working 14, 16 hours a day for 7 months, and you start to be a little bit uncultured and antisocial. So it's got to be something really good to get my attention. And then, again, like I say, I try to find diverse topics to get sort of up to speed on in the way of documentaries.
What do you like to do for fun?
At heart, a very outdoorsy person. So wearing a three-piece wool suit is the last thing on earth I ever do. I wear a three-piece wool suit for money. I mountain bike a lot. I'm an avid mountain biker. I, you know, work out in the gym like most people. I try to do that as much as possible. I'm getting to a certain age now where I want to maintain a certain amount of body mass for health and stuff, mm-hmm. and aesthetic and bone density. I like to ski also. I've been a skier all my life. When I'm not on a series regularly, I like to play hockey, ice hockey. And that I haven't been able to do for a while because, you know, the potential for getting hurt. I have to sort of pare down the things that, you know, could potentially take me out,
right?
Work-wise. So, and, you know, it's a set time. Usually you have to show up at the rink at a set time, and my schedule is all over the place. So I just grab my bike on a day that I can, and I head for the trails.
And away you go. Well, I'll tell you what. Yannick, it's been fantastic. I really appreciate the conversation, and we are looking forward to season 11 of Murdoch Mysteries on Acorn, and it's a nice Christmas present.
Oh, I'd say so. We've also got a great Christmas special this year that we are about to air here. Fantastic two-hour one. And I would say of the three that we've done so far, this is my favorite. So,
oh, cool.
That's coming your way as well.
So yet another Christmas gift a little later in the season.
That's right.
All right, cool. Well, again, Yannick, thanks so much for your time, and we really have enjoyed it, and much success in season 11 and season 12, 13, and beyond.
Thanks very much, Jim.
Well, that brings to a close yet another edition of Stream On. Now, if you haven't yet had an opportunity to subscribe, it's easily done. It's free, first of all, very important. Free is good. You can get us at the iTunes Store. You can get us at Google Play. You can get us at Blog Talk Radio. You can get us at Stitcher. That's right, one of the top apps for podcasts anywhere in the world is Stitcher. They have a wonderful array of different types of genres of podcasts. So if you have the Stitcher app, by all means, look us up. That's Stream On with Jim Williams. And hit the favorite button, and bingo, you're going to get us every week to your phone. Same is the case on TuneIn. Now, if you're one of the 130 million people who listen to TuneIn on either your tablet or your phone, like myself, all you have to do is download the app. If you don't already have it, then search Stream On with Jim Williams, hit the favorite button, and every week, for free, you'll get a new edition of Stream On. Okay, so easy to subscribe. It's free. Five different places you can get it. Please go out and subscribe today. Thanks very much on that one. All right. Special thanks to Yannick Bisson, the man who plays the title character, William Murdoch in Murdoch Mysteries. That show drops, and I know all of us are excited about it, on Christmas Day. So please make an opportunity and take some time on Christmas Day to watch season 11 of Murdoch Mysteries. All right. Again, thanks to Yannick Bisson for being our guest. So until next time, I'm Jim Williams saying have a wonderful, safe, and very happy holiday weekend.